Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
So, how is the weather there in Australia, Bree?
It is sunny and windy.
Sunny and windy. Yeah, we get those. They're called Santa Ana winds here in San Diego, California, and it's our fire season. So you guys experienced that. Was it last year that there was a big fires there in Australia?
Yeah, end of 2019, early 2020.
Was that in your vicinity?
Yeah. Just maybe 45 minutes sort of drive down south, but close enough. And then on the other side, we sort of sat in this pocket where we were lucky and fortunate enough to be on either side of it. Mm.
Yeah, and you were downwind of it, so you got a lot of soot and all that kind of stuff.
The ash was incredible. There was ash everywhere. Yeah.
That happens here too. But there's no ash or fire burning except for the fire that's about to burn in this conversation. Because we are here on the edge, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Brains, we're back down in Australia with Bree Stedman. And mm-hmm. I'm excited to have her because she's going to tell us a story that most women wouldn't tell. That most women would not have the courage to tell, but she did more than that. She had the courage to heal. She recognized what was going on. And we're going to be talking about creatrix. Yes, we're going to go deep. I'm loving this because each person that I talk to, it's a different story and it's a different layer. We're going to talk a little bit about the founder, Maz, who's an amazing woman. That is just, you know, got an incredible story, but all these women have an incredible story. So I don't want to fill in the white space. I want to leave that to Bree. Thank you so much for being here with me, Bree, on the edge. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, April. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. So let's start with, let's jump around a bit.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with what in the world is creatrix?
Yes.
A transformologist.
Transformologist. Yes, it's a new word. So creatrix is a world first. It is a female specific breakthrough process that has been adapted to work with epigenetics, which is that science of intergenerational trauma. And it's been designed to specifically work with the female unconscious. So unlike psychology and a lot of other modalities that are frequently used in personal development, the majority of those have been developed according to how men perceive and how men process and heal. And, you know, I don't need to tell all of the women in the audience, we know we're different. We know that we're more emotional. We know that we hang on to things seemingly more often than men do. And so creatrix was designed to cut through all of the layers of our emotional beliefs and our issues so that we can heal at a really deep, deep level.
That's amazing. Mm. So tell us a little bit about the founder, Maz.
Maz Sharma. She is an incredible woman. I've been very blessed. I've known Maz personally for about 12 years. And I've been working alongside her with the Institute of Women International since 2012, since it was founded. So Maz has quite an incredible sort of rags to riches, victim to hero story. She grew up in a very, very small town in the far north Queensland of Australia. And she was the third generation of domestic violence, child sexual abuse, and, you know, the women being the weaker doormats in a relationship.
She was the third generation of that?
The third generation. And when it first happened to her, when the child sexual abuse first happened to her and she mentioned it to her mother and her grandmother, they said, well, Marilyn, that's just what men do. Mm. Because in that family line, that's what the men did. So Maz grew up in an incredibly traumatic environment. And as she grew, she obviously wanted to make her life different. And so she vowed that she would do whatever it takes once she became a mother, that her children would never experience what she herself experienced. And unfortunately, despite her very best efforts, that fear became a reality when her children also experienced the child sexual abuse that she had. Mm. So this pattern of child sexual abuse is really what led Maz to start to question, you know, why is it that it runs rampant? And not just child sexual abuse, but domestic violence and, you know, inequality between the sexes. There's so many family patterns that can really run rampant in one family, and then another family has a different set of traumas to deal with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So as Maz started to develop as a woman, and even before that, she was in a very abusive relationship. So she actually fled with her four young children. She was put into emergency housing, single mum, four young kids, and running for her life. And she was then diagnosed with epilepsy. So she had what most people would refer to as a bleep moment, where everything just fell out of her world. And it was that moment of clarity where everything stood still. People call it a wake-up call. And a lot of people in the personal development industry in particular, they all talk about this wake-up call where something happened in their life, the world cleared up, and then they started to do life differently. So Maz has actually had three wake-up calls. The child sexual abuse of her children was one of them. When she had epilepsy, it was another one. And then she had another one later on in life when she'd become successful. And at the point where her wake-up call occurred, because she was seeing the world without the filters of, you know, women are the weaker sex and that's just what men do and all the things that she'd been conditioned, she started to see that she was actually in control of her life and she could do things differently. So those moments led her to personal development. Now, that sort of coincided with Maz becoming a business owner of her own because she couldn't get a job. No one would employ a single mum with four kids with no education. So she became a self-employed woman, and she built an incredibly successful business within that framework. She was actually the number one across Asia and Australia for a number of years, broke a lot of records. So she really turned her life around by going into business for herself, doing basic personal development, which is what we're all familiar with. But throughout that process where she was training in, you know, things like hypnotherapy and NLP and timeline therapy, she started to see another pattern emerge. And that was that while the men that she worked with and the men that she trained with, they got really great long-lasting results, the women that she would work with, they'd get great immediate results, but it wouldn't be long before they would come back and say, Maz, my issue's back. I feel like everything is back again and I'm having to work on it again. And so that pattern is really what led Maz to start to investigate where all of our approaches to personal development stemmed from. She started to research the researchers and research the information that went into designing personal development modalities. And what she recognized was that all modalities that she was aware of, including psychology, had been developed by men and studied for men. And then women were just kind of adapted and hoped that, you know, women would get a good response. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really quite alarming because it was only in the mid-1990s that the National Institute of Health even mandated that female test subjects be included in studies on the brain. Wow. So we've really only been exploring the differences between male and female brains for the last 20-something years. Yeah. So Maz found that research, and basically because she is a woman, she understands how women experience the world. She took all of the gold out of the processes that she learned and she filled the gaps so that it speaks to who we are as women. And then, yeah, the research continued. She discovered epigenetics, which is what explained her intergenerational child sexual abuse pattern that she had seen play out in her family line. And, you know, we've all experienced patterns playing out in families, and that pattern is epigenetics.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you get all that, brains? I'm telling you, that is, woo, that is
big story.
An amazing story. Okay, so now she springboards and she says, you know what? It's not enough. I need to help women. My goal is to help 10 million hearts. Tell me a little bit about Creatrix.
Yes, so through all of that, that was where she started to play around with this different tool, Creatrix. So it was around 2011, 2012 that she really started to get a specific formula that speaks to who we are as women. And I was very fortunate. I was actually at one of the very first events she ever rang. I went there obviously for my own personal issues. But Creatrix, without giving the secret sauce, it's a little bit like Colonel Sanders' 11 herbs and spices.
Oh, yeah, no. You don't want to give the intellectual property, but you definitely want to give us a taste.
Yes. So it is a closed-eyed process, because we know that when the eyes are closed, women are able to focus. And it taps into one of our richest sources of information, which is our imagination. All women love to create. We are natural creators. You know, the sheer fact that we have a uterus in our body that is designed to create life. You know, granted, we need the sperm to create the zygote that becomes the human child. It's the uterus that's housed within the woman that is actually creating the life and nurturing the life. So Creatrix taps into that natural essence of who we are as a creator being. And it's an incredibly fun imagination story that taps into not just our conscious mind, also our unconscious mind, which is where our belief systems are housed, and then deeper into the female unconscious, which is that we refer to it in layman's terms, it would be the uterus. It is that unconscious part of us that creates life without us having to be consciously aware of it. And this is something that men cannot fathom, because they don't have to create a human life inside of their bodies. But as women, and any mums out there, I'm going to bet my bottom dollar that when you were pregnant with your child, you did not have to diarize the day that you grew the eyeballs or the day that you grew the fingernails. It's just something that happens unconsciously in a part of us that runs our entire body.
Right.
So Creatrix taps into that third level of the unconsciousness, which is specific for women.
Okay, but as far as her building this as a cause, as a mission, as a purpose, and a business, how did that transform?
Mostly because she was fed up of seeing women invest their hard-earned dollars in results that did not last for them. Wow. Yeah, and that's, you know, really what drives us as the Institute. We talk to women who are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to heal themselves. And the common pattern that we start to see develop is, there must be something wrong with me. I've spent all of this money. I've gone and worked with all of these amazing people that promise results. And although they feel good for a little while, something happens and the problems come back. So there must be something wrong with me, which is a really common belief that a lot of women have. And that's not good enough. Women deserve healing. And as a gender, we come from a very, very long line of suppression and oppression and trauma, which requires healing in order for us to break the cycles for our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren to be able to live happier and more fulfilled lives.
Yeah, that, I mean, the book that I read tell me that the woman was created as a partner for the man, as one of his ribs. So we were second fiddle, you know, from our inception. So let's talk a little bit about your story, because that is a tale within itself. And I really want, I want my brains to be compassionate. Mm. I don't want you to listen to this with judgment, you know, because your eyes are going to buck. I get it. Because women don't talk about this. They don't talk about the challenges that they face as being a mother. And it being stressful, being, you know, and I'm talking about real stressful, having some, you know, cruelty towards your children. They don't talk about that. So let's hear a little bit about your story, Bree.
Yes. So I met Maz, like I said, 2008, I met Maz, and my son at the time was newborn. He was only about 6 months old. 2009, I had my second child, my daughter, and then we moved home and we moved into a completely new area. Now, while we were moving, I was also at that time quite a successful businesswoman. So anyone who knew Bree from, you know, 2009 through to about 2012 only knew the Bree that Bree presented, which was always happy, always confident, always positive. If you needed to be picked up, Bree was going to pick you up. And through that, like I said, I built quite a successful business. I was a very well-known leader within that company, but I was hiding an incredibly distressful secret, because even though publicly I looked like I had my shit together, at home, the stress of constantly having to be who everyone else expected me to be meant when I got home, all of the layers came down and I started to lose my shit, is how I used to describe it. So my children, who at the time when I first experienced Creatrix, they were 2 and 4. And where Maz comes from, an environment where she was a victim of domestic abuse, I was the abuser within our home of my children, because they were the two people that loved me more than anyone in the world, but they were also the two that pushed my buttons more than anyone else in the world. And because I was at home in a new area where I didn't know anyone, I was petrified that if anyone knew my deep, dark secret, my children would be taken away from me. So I tried to get help under the radar because, you know, April, like you said, this is not something that a lot of women talk about because the fear of our children being taken away from us is a real thing. And it's not that for me anyway, it wasn't something that I wanted to do. I did not want to be the abuser. When we conceived my child, my first child, my son, it took us 4 years to conceive him. You know, he was an IVF baby. So to become a mum was a really conscious decision that I had. But the reality of being a mum was a very, very different situation that I didn't expect. And my emotions were really the driving force. So I did go out and try and get help. I spoke to doctors. I went to counsellors. I went to parenting courses. I did all of the things that I thought I could do. And unfortunately, all of those professionals blamed my son for the behavior because he is a challenging child. He's ADHD and my daughter has learning disabilities as well. So we've got two opposite ends of the spectrum. It's not a standard sort of situation. But the go-to advice was, you know, get your kid on medication and then everything will be better. And the more experts that I'd go and see, the more of them would blame him. And I started to go, but what about me? No one's asking me as the mum, as the common denominator in these situations, how am I responding to the situation? You know, bear in mind, I'd already done a lot of personal development. So I knew ownership, I knew responsibility. And none of these experts were asking how I was going. And then when they did, I had one doctor ask me how I was going. I broke down in tears and he said, oh, you're just depressed. Here's some medication. Wow. Which was not the answer because I wasn't depressed. I was emotionally exhausted. And so that's ultimately what led me to Maz because all of the counselling, the coaching, the energy work, all of the other stuff that I tried, it worked while I was consciously focusing on doing that. But if I was consciously focusing on, you know, things like the positive affirmations, I was taught by one particular person, the more positive affirmations you can say, sooner or later, you're going to convince your brain that that is the new belief. So every time you get angry, you need to stop yourself and you need to say, you are a calm and confident mum. That was the answer. So here I am, a out of control, exhausted mum with two young children, rampaging in my house, trying to convince myself that I'm a calm and confident mother when every single cell in my body was telling me otherwise.
Wow.
And that's the power of Creatrix because we know, and everyone who's ever done any kind of personal development work, you hear the experts tell you that you are good enough. You hear the experts tell you that you are worthy, that you are capable of change, that you can do whatever you put your mind to. Right. But if your internal voice does not mirror what the external world is trying to tell you, then that internal voice is going to sabotage each and every time.
Absolutely. So how did this affect your relationship with your partner? Because he's sitting there scratching his head. He goes, okay, I've got two children that are challenged. I've got a wife that is off the chain, you know, and that means unleashed brains that don't
smoke products.
you know, and I'm trying to love on this woman and maintain this household. What's he doing?
Well, he had to work because financially he was the breadwinner at that time. You know, I was juggling my business and the kids, but he still had to work. So I don't actually know how we got through that period of time, April. It was chaos in more than one ways. It would not be an uncommon thing for him to have me on the phone within 10 minutes of me waking up of the morning screaming, I can't do this anymore. This is too hard. I need help. And he's at work going, well, darling, there's nothing that I can do. Like, put him in his bedroom and put her in her bedroom and go for a walk in the backyard. Because that was, we had no help. That there was no one. And this is why I'm so passionate about helping women as a general to be able to get the help that they need. Because especially in those instances where it is a taboo topic, you know, mums are not meant to be out of control.
Women don't do that. Women are not supposed to be alcoholics. They're not supposed to, you know, work in the sex trade. They're not supposed to smoke. They're not supposed to drink. They're not supposed to be the abuser. But newsflash, brains, there's a lot more women and there's a lot more shame associated with it where they won't get help. They hide it from their families. They hide it from their workplace and then they explode. And, you know, there was a story here not too long ago where a mother had postpartum so bad that she put her baby in the oven. And, you know, again, like, who does that? Who does that? It is a woman that is traumatized. Yep. A woman that has probably been screaming out for help and nobody's been listening.
And she doesn't know where to go for help with judgment, in a judgment-free space. And this is what I love about transformology, because all of our transformologists are trained to look beyond the story. We are not our story. You know, the fact that when I spoke to Maz and told Maz my story, and she could hear through the gruesomeness of it and go, okay, Bree, so tell me, what is it that you believe? What are you feeling? What are you struggling with? Let's resolve those issues. Because when those issues are resolved, you're not energetically charged by the situation. Therefore, you can handle the situation differently. It was, and I kid you not, 9 years ago, I experienced Creatrix for the first time. So bear in mind, I went into that experience as a raging, violent mum. Literally, over the space of a weekend, that entire rage dropped away, and in 9 years, it has never come back. Not even once have I hit a level, and my children are hard work. I get angry, but it's a very situational response to a normal environment where, you know, the kids are arguing and you need to stop. The second that the situation's over, the emotion, I call it emotional Teflon, the emotion goes with the situation, which is what that is normal life. You're meant to respond with emotions, and then when the situation is done, the emotion goes away with it. The problem with where most women are coming from at the moment is, again, because of that epigenetic conditioning, we have hundreds. Epigenetics is proving 14 generations. So that's at least 200 years of history of, and depending on your family line, so for my family line, there was a lot of anger. So I have 200 years of anger and rage built up in my DNA that is then charging the situation where I felt out of control. So that was driving my over-the-top reactions. Because Creatrix cleared the past, when the same situations occurred, you know, literally a weekend later, it was, okay, he's having a temper tantrum. What are we going to do about that? No emotion from me, because there's no charge built up in the DNA. It's been cleared. So that's the, and like I said, 9 years. We're talking long-lasting results here that no other modality is able to prove. And we have, I'm one of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women that can hand on heart tell you the exact same thing.
I know. I have another guest that's going to be coming on, and she said that this is her life calling. Mm-hmm. She will never be without Creatrix her entire life. So with that, is this ongoing maintenance? I know that this is a sisterhood. This is a philosophy. This is a modality. But it's highly charged. And so what do you say to the woman that's out there right now that's saying, oh, you know, I don't know if this is for me. You know, it's worked for Bree. It's worked for other hundreds of women. But I'm afraid to try. What do you say to that woman?
So... you've got to get to a point where you are fed up of the cycle repeating.
Right.
You know, for me, the day that I walked into the lounge room and my children flinched simply because I walked into the lounge room, that was not the way I wanted to continue to live my life. And it was certainly not the way that I wanted my children's childhood to be defined. So for me, it was worth what if this is the thing that actually works. And this is, we offer a 100% money back guarantee. So for any client who is stuck in a specific situation right now, she's recognizing that her patterns are continually sabotaging her happiness and are diminishing the possibility of a happy future. When you work with a transformologist, you're going to get a 100% money back guarantee. Now, what that means is your transformologist will work with you as long as it takes for a specific set of issues that you and her identify for it to be cleared. The average woman has anywhere between 40 and 60 odd emotional issues. So most women have baggage. We all know that. But when you work with a transformologist, you're coming to her because you know that there's a problem. You may not know exactly what the problem is, but there is something going on in your life that you're not happy with. Your transformologist is trained to help you to identify what those issues are, and she will work with you until those issues are completely resolved. 100% money back guarantee. So there is no risk for the client. However, she does need to be ready to be free from the past, and that's something that only the client can choose.
And you have to do the work, client. Okay, brains, you got to do the work. This is not pixie dust. Okay. They're not going to come in there. You have to go in there and you have to identify. You have to be honest. Mm-hmm. You have to come clean. You have to, you know, again, go in and face the past, face your demons. That's scary, you know, yep. But there is joy and results on the other side. Your goal is to touch 10 million hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from?
Maz is a very audacious, bold woman. So when she was feeling into the impact that she wanted to leave as a legacy on the planet, she felt into 100,000. She was like, well, that would be great. 1 million would be better. 10 million scares the shit out of me. That's what I want to do.
Right.
And the thing about 10 million as well is it's such a big goal that the only way that's going to be achieved is when we work with like-minded women who share our passion. So the women who join our movement come from, you know, one of three areas. Either they are already working in the industry and they know the results they're getting for their clients are good, but they could be better. So they're starting to recognize through their own experience in the industry that there is something missing for women and they're wanting a female-specific solution. Or they work in the industry and they themselves are still struggling. And that is, again, when we talk about masks, there are a lot of women that come into personal development, just like me. They come into the personal development because they themselves want to heal so that they can then heal others. Or there's those other people that just have a passion for serving women. And so we know when we, you know, band together as like-minded women who demand excellence for other women, that's how 10 million hearts are going to be set free. It's not something that we just over here in Australia can do. You know, we're very fortunate. The Creatrix movement over the last 8 years has grown. We're now in 18 countries. We've got facilitators in 18 countries.
So, Bree, let me ask you, really, what is the ethnic makeup of this? And I know that it is not by design because, you know, you want to touch everybody. But are there very many women of color that are involved in Creatrix right now?
Yes. So women of color, no, it's a minority. I don't actually think we've got any women of color currently licensed. However,
okay, let me define that, okay?
Yeah.
What I want people to understand, we say women of color, we're talking about Black women, we're talking about Hispanic women, we're talking about Indian women, we're talking about Asian women, you know, we're talking about, you know, women outside of being Caucasian and being white. And so I want everyone to understand that this group is very welcoming. More so, they want to really reach out to you and embrace you even more so due to the fact that you, number one, have not had this experience. Number two, information is power. And number three, we have really experienced a lot of trauma. We don't have this white privilege in addition to the trauma that we're experiencing right now. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, thank you for that. So, we are a very multicultural organization because we've now got quite a large number of women across Asia working with us. We've now got a couple of Muslim transformologists. We've got quite a number of, I think they're South African. So we are starting to build our multicultural diversity across. But the thing that I love is because we are speaking the universal language of the female unconscious, we all know that every culture in the world comes from multiple different streams of trauma. That, you know, some are more extreme than others, but there is a long line of history across all cultural representations of women being abused, suppressed, oppressed, and traumatized. And when I've worked with a number of different cultures for clients, I've worked with more than 350 clients over the last 8 years across the board of all cultures. And what I absolutely love about Creatrix is that no matter the historical trauma that a woman has experienced, whether because of her cultural or not, Creatrix gives her the most beautiful, in-depth, rooted breakthrough that clears all of the history so that she can just... It's almost like she can honor what her past is without it consistently weighing her down so that she can actually be the voice of change moving forward for others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm. Well, that is amazing. And I'm really, I forgot to include First Nations people there in Australia because, you know, they're a suppressed voice. And there is a lot of trauma like here in the United States, we have Native American women. And yep. the Native American women and the Native Americans are, you know, suppressed with alcohol and drugs. They are not leaving the reservation. They're not leaving their culture. But know that there is breakthroughs and there is a way out, and that there are people that are not looking like us, but they still embrace us and they love us because we have one common goal. We're women. So yeah, thank you for that, Bree.
It's really important because Maz's children are half Aboriginal, and her daughter is actually one of her daughters is highly involved within the Institute, and she works a lot within the Aboriginal community. So it really, and I know this is going to sound like a cliche thing from a blonde white woman, but to us, it's about healing the individual woman's heart. This whole white privilege thing might come across because I do come from a very different cultural background.
It is what it is. It is. You don't have to apologize because it's all about the change. But anyway.
Well, it is because, and I think the change becomes easier when we individually heal ourselves, because then acceptance becomes an easier thing to deal with, because when you don't have this internal shame or guilt or fear or judgment going on within you, then you're able to be more accepting of all. So the individual healing journey is something that is so, so important. And I think that's what's going to create a bigger change on the planet for all women, no matter what race, what culture, what background they come from. This is a universal, multicultural, specific process for women. Yep.
And I'm sure that the transformologists are very welcoming. And again, it's not original talk therapy. It's not something that you pop a pill for twice a day and throw back some vodka. It's not something that you stick a needle in your arm in. So this is a real way to clear and to heal the feminine energy. So
countries around the world, there's more than 200 of us. In October of this year, we are actually running the first ever North American time zone program. So in the past, all of our North American transformologists have had to work and train through the middle of the night to come into the Aussie one program.
You have to tell me about the middle of the night in Australia. Yeah. I know.
Yep. So myself and our other trainer, Helen, we're going to be the ones that get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to train an exclusive North American program. So that's commencing in September, with the actual training module running in October of this year, which we are incredibly excited about, because, you know, we speak to a lot of Americans, and America and Canada, you guys love personal development. Love living your best lives and shedding the past to step into an uninhibited future. For women who want to make a bigger impact, for women specifically, this is an incredible opportunity for people to come in on the ground level of transformology in North America. It's going to be huge. So we're very, very excited about that.
Well, you are on fire in your passion. I want to dial back just a little bit about Maz's, because you had shared with me that she started her business model, and well, not business model, but she actually became very successful in her business as Mary Kay.
Yes.
And, you know, Mary Kay was one of my idols. I met her a few times here in San Diego before she passed away. Her business model was one that was so revolutionary for women. It was like, put God first, then your family, then your business. I'm going to show you how to make money at what you're doing. I'm going to reward you. I'm going to recognize you, and I'm going to thrust you forward. But in addition to that, I'm going to teach you how to hold your sister's hand and bring her along with you. And that is what has been instilled, I can see, in Maz, is what she's doing and her philosophy with Creatrix. And I applaud her.
Yeah.
I do, because, you know, that is huge. So many times women are like crabs in a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're jealous, they're envious, they're catty, they're gossipy. But when you have the bandwidth and the space to say, you know what, come on, sister, let me hold your hand, let me hold you up, let me watch your kids, let me cook you some food, go get you some rest, you know, get with your man, have some good sex, I'll watch the kids, you know, all of those things are important, and they're the little things, brains. You don't have to do a lot to show someone some compassion, to show them that you care. You have to speak up. That's why you have this mouth here. You know, and yes, you are going to be judged. Okay. So I'm just, you know, keeping it 100. People are going to turn their nose up at you. They're going to talk about you behind your back, but they talked about Jesus Christ and hung him on the cross. So, you know, what difference does that make? The difference that you can make in your own life is come to your own awareness and decide to stop the cycle of violence, to stop being a victim, and to be victorious. And that is what you have done and these women have done. And again, like I said, everybody has their own story. They have their own way of dealing with this and going through this. But these transformologists are just really, really incredible women. And when I hear you talk, your voice just rumbles from your abdomen up through your chest. And you're excited about it. It's been 9 years and you are still excited about it. And that is what entices me, is that that lets me know that this is a lifelong change.
Yeah.
You have a daughter. Let's talk a little bit about your, let's talk a little bit about your daughter and what you're, what she's seeing in you. Number one is like, wow, you know, mom's cool now.
Well, and, so and both my children, I've got a son and a daughter, and both of them. So, my son Blair was 4 at the time that I found Creatrix. My daughter was just shy of 2. And when my son turned 10, I said to him, you know, darling, we've done all right. You know, we've made a decade. And he said, well, let's be honest, Mum, it was pretty rough there for a few years.
Wow.
And it was. But the thing that I love about both of my children, from a female perspective, Olivia is growing up to be an incredibly empowered and aware woman. She knows who she is. From a holistic female perspective, it's not just about the, you know, the stuff that traditionally we are taught as little girls. Blair, as the boy, is also being raised to really respect empowered women. So I've got both sides of the circle of the spectrum, where because my transformation allowed me to be the most empowered, authentic version of myself, I am now raising both of my children, one boy, one girl, to be respectful and appreciative of empowered women. Now, what do you think that's going to do for their future in terms of the relationships that they have with each other and with each other's sex? It's not about men are better than women or women are better than men. It's about appreciating who we are as individuals and expressing appreciation for the strength that each sex brings, because we do have strengths that are often overlooked.
I can see this being huge for youth, because there is so much shaming, there is so much bullying, there is so much body image, you know, influence, drugs, and all of that. So to be able to tap into young women or young men at an early age to help them really realize that they do have choices, they do have options, and they do have responsibility, and there are consequences for your actions. Don't think that, you know, again, this is the secret sauce, because when you do shit,
that's right, there's a consequence.
Somebody's got to clean it up. Somebody's got to flush it, you know. So you have to be very mindful of that. So for the transformologist to, again, have young children, you have a young daughter that is seeing this, but also instilling this in their life, is really going to stop that generational curse. And that's on everyone's tongue right now. People have not been talking about this like they are now. It's the epigenetics and the intergenerational trauma. It is huge. And being an African-American woman, come on now, you know, I've got slavery.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all of that. And still, what they try to do to us here in the United States, demean us. Do you know that we had to get legislation signed in California to wear your natural hair? I have an afro. To wear your natural hair in the workplace.
Yeah.
Who the hell does that? Who wastes time on that?
And this is the thing that I think sort of, I know it certainly riles me up from the perspective that so much of what is normal right now has been defined by, and please don't take this as disrespect too, but so much of our society is defined by powerful white men. The only way that that is going to change is when we as individuals heal our own reaction to the situation. Because when you go into a situation fueled with your own emotional state, you're only amplifying an already emotional situation. This is why your own healing is so important first and foremost. Because when you're not emotionally charged, you can then address the exact same situation from a far more empowered position. And that is when change can actually take place, because it's driven by more empowerment, not irrational emotion.
I know. And, you know, I have done that, and COVID has really instilled that in me even more, is that I have developed so much more patience. I have told myself, I'm not going to be that angry black woman. You're not going to get that from me. Okay. Mm. I'm going to be strategic. That's not to say that, you know, I'm not going to pop off. And I'm not going to stand
up. No, because it's still natural. But there are going to be things that occur that require you to feel angry, because it's all emotions are natural human emotions. It's when they are detrimental to your own well-being that they become a problem.
Or the well-being of others.
Yeah. You know, definitely.
So you have just been a wealth of information.
Thank you.
I'm so excited. And I'm so excited that you're going to be starting this here in North America. Whatever I could do to support, encourage, get the word out, you know, because I know everybody on the planet now, right? let me know, because again, yeah. I'm a believer in this. I just, you know, thank my lucky stars that I'm not in that space, because I've done the work. I realize who I am, but there's always room for growth and development. You know, you can always be that better person. And it's not over till it's over. And I'm so glad that it's beginning with you. Thank you so much, Bree, for being here. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they are interested in, you know, and I'm speaking to individuals here in North America. If you're interested on getting on board in September, you know, take a listen. Go in, look at some of the interviews, look at some of the great stories. There's videos and Bree does a great, highly charged Facebook Live where she gives it to you straight with no chase. I mean, you are drinking straight. but again, that's what you need. You know, you need that slap on the back of the neck to wake you up. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, please.
Yeah, so if you are interested, instituteofwomen.com is our official website. It's definitely a great place for you to go and scope out Creatrix, Transformology, Maz, and our programs. And I also encourage you to find me on socials. So Facebook is my platform of choice. I'm all over Facebook, Bree Stedman. I'm going to be promoting a lot more about this North American program. We're actually running some informational webinars over the next couple of weeks. So definitely send me a friend request on Facebook. The other thing that you can do is find our Facebook group called Future Transformologists. I think it's Women Helping Women is the subtitle, but Future Transformologist is the Facebook group. Come into that space, because that's where you're going to also learn from Maz. Maz is quite frequently jumping into that space to connect with the future generation of transformologists. It's where we're going to share a lot more information about these upcoming events. But the website, that Facebook group, Future Transformologists, or come and find me on Facebook, Bree Stedman, because, you know, we want to connect, and we are open books. You've got a question, you are going to get the answer as raw and as honest and as authentic as we can possibly give you the answer to, because we've got nothing to hide. You know, I think this is what makes us such a standout organization to be a part of as well. It is very hard to find a negative review on Creatrix or the Institute of Women International. And that speaks volumes for the integrity of who we are, the results that we're consistently able to get, and the support that we give all of our transformologists. Because, you know, like April said, we've got a goal of setting 10 million hearts free. The best way for us to make that happen is by supporting the individual transformologists to be successful, because the more successful they are, the more lives that they are impacting. And that's ultimately meaning more women are feeling free and emotionally healed.
And brains, you know that women are taking back over the planet. I don't know if you got the email. I sent it out. I don't know if you got it and you opened it. But we are, and we are going to make a difference. We are in the age of Aquarius. It is much gentler, much kinder, much softer. But again, we are not weak and frail. We realize our shortcomings and we address them. We don't submerge them. And we love on our men too, you know, because men came from that womb.
And that's right.
There's no better place to, you know, to heal than, you know, where it all began. So thank you so much, Bree. You are a rock star. I adore you. I do, and I adore your program and everything that you're doing. And I'm gonna see if I can get a one-on-one with Maz too. I wanna talk to her. She's tough to get in contact with, but you know what? She's doing it, and she's doing great things. So I will talk to you again really, really soon. Thank you for being here on The Edge, Brains. I need you to go and subscribe. I need you to subscribe right now. share, like, love, and subscribe to YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, all the great places on the planet. Maybe you even want to be a guest or a transformologist. Talk to you soon.